The supreme role model. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. A model for all in life's every degree. The supreme role model.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another special transmission of the silsila regarding Rabi'ul Awwal, regarding the blessed birth of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And today we are going to be talking about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that there is nobody else that you can find in the history of humanity that was more generous than the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we're not just making this claim out of emotions, but these are facts. These are from eyewitnesses, ear witnesses, the ones who lived with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If only we read about his seerah, his biography, we'll come to that conclusion and understanding as well. To discuss this topic, I have once again, mashallah azawajal, our respected Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, who's also going to be sharing his Madani pearls in this discussion. Mawlana sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Mawlana sahab?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine, Mawlana sahab. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, we'll be discussing today about the generosity of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah.
And some very wonderful narrations and parables are there. But it must try to make our minds of being generous as well. Because that's also part of a believer, that how he must live his life, not as a miser, not as one who is stingy. In fact, talking about a miser, there's a narration which I will share in a few moments with regards, it's related to Durood e Pak and the recitation of Salat ala Nabi. Before that, let's remember the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, insha'Allahu Azza wa Jal. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a miser is that person in whose presence, when my name is mentioned, he does not recite salat upon me. Do I qualify as a miser in this sense? We need to ask ourselves, when I hear the beloved, blessed name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do I send Durood e Pak? Or I just ignore it? I don't worry about it. So the person who hears the blessed name but doesn't worry, doesn't send Durood e Pak, may fall in this category of being a miser. In fact, we should make it our daily routine to recite Durood e Pak salawat in abundance. Try 12 times, 25 times, 26 times, 30 times, 40 times, till you get to a minimum of 313 times every day. This is beneficial for us in this world and on the Day of Judgment, because the one who recites Durood e Pak in abundance will be closest to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. If we have that, then subhanallah, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, we will get salvation and safety on the Day of Judgment. Let's listen to a splendid kalam and we'll continue with this discussion. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
सहर का वक्त था और प्यारी कलियां मुस्कुराती थी, हवाएं खैर मकदम के तराने गुनगुनाती थी। अभी जिब्रील उतरे भी न थे काबे की मिंबर से,
कितने में सदाई अब्दुल्लाह के घर से,
मेरे सरकार आए
जो
मेरे दिलदार आए
जो
मेरे गमख्वार आए
जो
मेरे लजपाल आए
जो मुबारक हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
सरकार की आमद
मरहबा
दिलदार की आमद
मरहबा
रहबर की आमद
मरहबा
सरवर की आमद
मरहबा
सरदार की आमद
मरहबा हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
हो मुबारक अहले ईमान ईदे मीलादुन नबी ईदे मीलादुन नबी ईदे मीलादुन नबी हो गई किस्मत दरख्शां
हो
गई किस्मत दरख्शां ईदे मीलादुन नबी
हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
इंशाअल्लाह आज ईदी में मिलेगी मगफिरत है जबी शैतान परेशान है जबी शैतान परेशान ईद मीलादुन नबी
हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
चार जानिब धूम है सरकार के मीलाद की सरकार के मीलाद की सरकार के मीलाद की चार जानिब धूम है सरकार के मीलाद की सरकार के मीलाद की झूमता है घर मुसलमान झूमता है घर मुसलमान ईद मीलादुन नबी
हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
मेरे सरकार आए
जो
मेरे दिलदार आए
जो
मेरे गमख्वार आए
जो
मेरे लजपाल आए
जो मुबारक हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी हो मुबारक आज आए सबसे आखरी नबी
अर्श पर चारों तरफ सल्ले अल्लाह की धूम है माह रबीउल अव्वल आया रब की रहमत साथ मिलाया वक्त मुबारक रात सुहानी सुबह का तड़का है नूरानी पीर का दिन तारीख है बारा फर्श पे चमका अर्शी तारा आज की रात बरात रची है आमना के घर धूम मची है घर में हूरे दर पे मलक हैं जिनकी कतारें ताब फलक हैं ठंडी हवा का झोंका शोर मचा एक सल्ले अला का सल्ले अला मुहम्मद सल्ले अला मुहम्मद ठंडी हवा का झोंका शोर मचा एक सल्ले अला का रोवो उठी गर्द सवारी पैदा हुए महबूबे वारी रहमत आलम नूर मुजस्सम रहमत आलम नूर मुजस्सम सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम अर्श पर चारों तरफ सल्ले अला की धूम गए आ गए हैं नूरे यजदा आ गए हैं नूरे यजदा ईद मीलादुन नबी
हो मुबारक आज
سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
عید میلاد النبی کا واسطہ تار کو عید میلاد النبی کا واسطہ تار کو بخش دے اے رب رحمان بخش دے اے رب رحمان عید میلاد النبی
ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
تم بھی اٹھو اب وقت ادب ہے ذکر ولادت شاہ عرب ہے تخت ہے ان کا تاج ہے ان کا دونوں جہاں میں راج ہے ان کا اونچے اونچے یہاں جھکتے ہیں سارے انہی کا منہ تکتے ہیں شاہ و گدا ہیں ان کے سلامی فخر ہے سب کو ان کی غلامی کعبے کی زینت انہی کے قدم سے طیبہ کی رونق انہی کے قدم سے کعبہ ہی کیا ہے سارے جہاں میں دھوم ہے ان کی کون و مقام ہے آمین نبی کو لال مبارک نبی کو لال مبارک دائی حلیمہ قبال مبارک تم کو خلیل اللہ مبارک تم کو ذبیح اللہ مبارک دان کرو کچھ جشن ہے بھاری در پہ کھڑے ہیں سارے بھکاری در پہ ہیں حاضر اپنے پرائے آپ کے دم سے آس لگائے ہم تو پرانے کمین ہیں تر کے نام لکھے ہیں پدر مادر کے
چشم کرم للہ ادھر گو چشم کرم للہ ادھر گو سالک خستہ پر بھی نظر ہو
ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
میرے سرکار آئے
جو
میرے دلدار آئے
جو
میرے غم خوار آئے
جو
میرے لجپال آئے
جو مبارک ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی ہو مبارک آج آئے سب سے آخری نبی
سرکار کی آمد
مرحبا
دلدار کی آمد
مرحبا
رہبر کی آمد
مرحبا
سرور کی آمد
مرحبا
سردار کی آمد
مرحبا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ
وسلم I'm sure you enjoyed that beautiful kalam. Continue listening to these types of kalams and above all, kalamullah, the glorious Qur'an. Get your children also used to listening to these kalams because it will further grow that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. The love of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba ikram, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah in our hearts. Well, today we're talking about the generosity of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu an, he says that I once met the Mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Bilal Habashi radiallahu an, at Halab, Syria. I asked him with regards to the expenses made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because Sayyidina Bilal Habashi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not just a muadhin of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was also the treasurer. He would handle the funds, the monies of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the great scholar asks him regarding the expenses because he was in charge. He was placed in charge by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will only put somebody that you really trust in charge of money. In fact, all Sahaba ikram, mashallah azza wa jal, but he was selected, he was chosen. So he said that, subhanallah, Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu said, I was responsible for spending the wealth that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. I performed this job from the inception, meaning as soon as prophethood was announced until the apparent demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had this position. If any Muslim needed clothing, they would come to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. He would order me. I would borrow money from somebody, buy a shawl, and give that Muslim, and I would feed them as well. So one day, a mushrik, a polytheist, one who was a worshipper of idols, came to me and said, "Oh Bilal, radiallahu an, you mustn't borrow money from anybody else besides me. I have a lot of wealth." Sayyiduna Bilal Habishi radiallahu an said, "Okay, no problem." One day, I made wudu, I stood to call out the adhan, and I see that the same mushrik, he is quickly approaching me with some traders. He started to say bad things about me. He started to scold me. He said, "Do you know how many days are left to repay my loan that I gave to you?" Sayyidina Bilal Habashi radiallahu anhu said, "There's still some time, there's a few days left." The mushrik said, "There's only 4 days left. If you don't repay the debt within 4 days, I will make you my slave. And I will make you graze my goats like you used to do before." Listening to this, I became worried. After Isha Salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his blessed home. I took permission and entered and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. The mushrik that I borrowed money from, he is threatening me to make me his slave. We both don't have anything to repay the debt. He will disgrace me. Please allow me to go to those people who have become Muslim so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us wealth upon his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as needed to repay the debt." I said this, I left, and in the morning I went to go somewhere. In the meantime, a person came running and said, "Oh Bilal, radiallahu an, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling you." When I reached the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see with my own eyes there were 4 camels fully loaded with items. I asked permission to enter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Congratulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided the means to repay the debt." He then asked, "Do you see 4 camels? I said, "Yes." He said, "The ruler of Fadak has sent these camels. Keep all of the grains and the clothes loaded on them and repay that person what is owed to him." I obeyed this order and then came to the masjid. I made salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What benefit did you receive from this wealth?" I humbly said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted me to repay all the debt his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had." He asked, "Is anything left from that wealth?" I said, "Yes." Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Spend all of it. I will not go home until you distribute all of that wealth to the poor and needy." After I finished the Isha Salah, he called me again and asked about the remaining wealth. I humbly said, "I still have some. I couldn't find any needy person." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the masjid at night. And the next day, he called me again after Isha Salah. I humbly said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has relieved you." Listening to this, he called out the takbir and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was distressed that death may arrive whilst I still possess those items. I then followed him until he entered his blessed home. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, this is a long narration, but think about it. At that point where there is nothing to repay the loan, the debt, and then all of a sudden so much of wealth comes, what does the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He doesn't say, "Okay, I'm keeping 1 camel for myself. The other 3, give it away." The debt was paid and there was so much left over from that wealth that it was distributed and nobody else could be found to give them charity. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I'm not leaving here until all of this is distributed. Because that was part of his generous nature. He never ever, according to Sahaba Ikram, he never ever turned anybody away. Somebody came for something, he must leave with something. He must leave fulfilled. This was the nature, this was the habit of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masab, I mean, you're not going to find somebody as generous like that.
Definitely, Masab. And it's even mentioned in the narrations that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not say la to anyone. Allah. He did not say no to anyone. Absolutely. If anyone had to come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for something, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always give it away. And in another narration, it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah. And immediately after finishing the salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into his house. And he came back out. Sahaba ikram, they were astonished by this. They were surprised. And they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the reason for you to do this?
Right.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whilst I was reading salah, I remembered that I had some gold in my house. And I wanted that gold to be given in charity. So it is for this reason that I rushed to my house to distribute that gold and then I came back.
Right.
This is the summary of this narration. Now it shows how generous Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. That he was not stingy, you know, with his possessions, with his wealth. He would always give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by giving sadaqah, it does not decrease or reduce your wealth. So if we want to be generous, we need to learn generosity from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would help those who were poor, would help those who were orphaned, would help those who were needy by giving them what they wanted. And not only that, even giving them more than what they wanted.
Well, we see today, if we have to read in the history of humanity,
all right,
that when a person generally comes into a position of power, then many a times it corrupts them. We hear it from, you know, people from around the world, whether at government level or in your society, that corruption is rife. It's everywhere. And when a person gets into that position of power and influence, then you know whether the person is sincere or just there to fill their pockets up.
Right, whether he's going to use that position wisely or will he abuse that position?
Yeah. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished, he could have lived a luxury life full of comfort. But I mean, we have the narrations that sometimes months would go by and there was no fire burning in the house, meaning there was no proper food being cooked. Sometimes they would only survive on khajur, on dates and water.
Allahu Akbar.
Or sometimes on barley bread, that rough barley roti or bread. But yet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people would always bring things and give. I mean, like we saw, four camels that were loaded.
A camel can
carry a lot of load.
Yeah.
And still there was so much left over. He didn't take anything from there. Because he didn't worry about personal benefit.
Right.
His concern was more for the others.
Yes, absolutely.
His concern was for the ummah, for the people who are struggling.
Right.
And it's a lesson for us that yes, of course, I mean, we don't have the capacity to think like that, to do that also. That if, you know, I got so much of wealth, if I get my salary, I'm not going to take all of my salary and give it to somebody that is in need. Because I have to pay my bills.
Right.
The water, life.
You have expenses to meet.
Expenses are there. Food, I got to put food on the table, school fees and so many things, right? But Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they were trained directly by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many of them were traders. They were businessmen. They were very successful. Take for example, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. His title is Al-Ghani, Uthman the Super Rich. People used to call him, oh, Uthman the Super Rich,
Allah,
Uthman Al-Ghani. But he was super rich and he was super generous as well. Where did he learn that from? None other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they learned this. And the history books are testimony that when they would earn their wealth, their profits, they would divide it into three portions. One portion will be for themselves, for their family, for their expenses. One third would be for putting it back into the businesses or investments or new business ventures. And one third they would take out and they will inject it back in the society. And those who are poor and needy, they'll give it to them, they'll disperse it amongst them, because they know those same people are going to be using those funds to buy things from the shops. So the money doesn't circulate amongst only the wealthy people. Right. It circulates in the society amongst everybody.
And this, you know, it's an upliftment for society as well.
Absolutely. Because today we look around and how many people are begging? You're driving on the roads. I'm not sure in other countries,
right,
but here almost every robot, there is a beggar. Sometimes there's few of them. And the problem there is they have realized that, people feel sorry for them and give them money, so there's money to be made there.
Right.
And so they have a, what they call a syndicate. They have a boss, a manager. And under him, he's got like maybe 10 beggars. And he appoints them. You two beggars go to this robot. You all two to that, this. Those are like his employees. Whatever they collect, they come and give it to him. He provides shelter, protection, food, everything. And he takes his share out. So those kind of beggars, we are not allowed to give. Nevertheless, the generosity of the noble Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we hear about it, we read about it in order for us to become generous as well. Don't get sidetracked by the attractions of this world and just use your hard-earned money for comforts and for luxury. Comforts is okay, but when you're talking about luxury and extravagance, that's going to go towards israf and wastage, which is not allowed in the deen. The noble Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, the world is sweet and beautiful. One who earns money in a halal way and spends it fulfilling its perfect rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward and will make him enter Jannah. The one who earns money in a haram way and spends it in any unlawful thing which is contrary to Sharia, Allah Azza wa Jal will make him enter Darul Hawan, the home of humiliation. Allama Abdul Rauf Manawi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, commenting on this blessed hadith, he says that this shows that the world itself is not something bad. Since it's a farm for the afterlife, anyone who attains worldly things with shari'i permission will be helped by that thing in his afterlife. Now I ask you that if we have to be generous and kind, why are we doing it? Are we doing it with the right intentions? Are we doing it to be called one who is generous and kind? Or are we doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal, for His sake, for the sake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we doing it to earn thawab? Because as this blessed hadith mentions, that you have wealth, you earned it from halal, and you spent it in positive halal ways and avenues, look what the end result is. That person will enter Jannah. On the opposite, we have people, also we have some people today that say that, you know, things are difficult, things are tight, so in order to make quick money, then we have to do underhand things.
Right.
What advice can we give to those people?
Murasab, in this regard,
Jay,
one has to understand a very important principle, and that is, well, we have to take a self-introspection and ask ourselves that where are we gaining our wealth from? Is it from halal sources or is it from haram sources?
Right.
If it's from halal sources, then all is good. If it's from haram sources, then it is mentioned that, number one, the punishment for it is that in this world, the person will experience a decrease in his livelihood.
Allah.
A decrease in his wealth. Yes, okay, maybe the person may be taking a shortcut, and that is, suppose it is haram wealth, and the person thinks that, okay, today I got a lot of money, maybe it's, let's say, gambling or whatever the case may be. That same wealth, it may seem very large, but it will decrease in no time. Why? Because of getting that haram wealth. And the second part is that the punishment for it, which is mentioned in the narrations, is that the punishment for it is the fire of Jahannam. So a person should think twice that, you know, instead of making quick money the wrong way, the haram way,
yeah,
don't take that route. Why take that route and then suffer at the end? Rather, take the long route, the correct and proper route of earning halal sources, of earning halal wealth, even if it may be a little, but still you will see barakah and blessings in that wealth.
Yes.
And this is what we need to learn for those who want to earn quick money or, you know, fast ways to get wealth. Then it should not be done around the bush. It should not be done the haram way. Rather, one should earn this their livelihood the halal way.
You know, I also feel that if a person doesn't have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
right,
then they'll do anything.
Yes, absolutely, because they won't care. They will be carefree. Yeah.
Because now they feel that, you know what, other people are working so hard,
right,
and they're earning so little.
Mm.
And here's a way, maybe by selling drugs, or through, you know, these lotteries and,
right,
you know, the way they market it, that, you know, you just buy a ticket for like 2 rand 50, you can win millions,
yeah,
you know. And but end of the day, you know, like some scholars, they mention, let's say a person won the lottery, mm-hmm, 10 million.
Right.
Now, we must think that it's like you won 10 million bottles of alcohol.
Allah, Allah.
Because it's haram. It's forbidden. You're going to keep that bottle of alcohol in your home, in your warehouse, in your factory. You're going to try to get rid of it as fast as possible. Why did you dip your hand in that fire? So let us come back. You see, we need to understand that if we have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll understand and realize what is due to me, nobody can take it away. If so much is due, for example, if a person opened up his shop and he worked 10 hours in the day, it was written for him that he's only going to get 1,000 rand. That's all he's going to get. He won't get a cent more.
Yeah.
And if a person opened for 1 hour and it was written for him he's going to get 10,000 rand, then that's what he's going to get. And the choice is ours. We have limited free will. If it's due to me that I'm going to get, example, 100,000 rand, now, how am I going to get that? What choices am I going to make? Am I going to do it the halal way? I'll get the 100,000. Or am I going to do it the haram way? I'll get the 100,000. But the difference is, one is the permitted way, one is the prohibited way. The permitted way is you earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you earn reward, and ultimately, if you spent in His path, you'll get Jannah out of His mercy. And the other side, there's no blessings in it. And then you're pining sins upon sins, because with the same money, you're going to buy food for your children and nourish their bodies. And then tomorrow, oh, my child doesn't listen to me. My child is rebellious. My child is disobedient, is rude, is this, whatever it is. If you're feeding them and clothing them from haram, then you must wait for it. That's what is going, that is what has to happen.
It's the result of
the result, yes. That's the consequence. So it's up to us as parents, especially, that we make sure that we work hard and we work smart as well. And we earn only that which is halal.
Also, Masab, something that's also very important is that, you know, for those who are earning haram wealth and they have a lot, like you've mentioned, either through the lottery or through gambling or whatever the case may be, if such a person has a lot and now thinks, okay, let me give in sadaqah, then even that won't be accepted.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from haram sources, and that which is haram can never be accepted. So it's so important that one should earn their livelihood, their wealth from halal sources. So when they want to be generous and when they want to be giving, then that will be a means of reward for them, and it will be accepted because it is from halal sources. Oh, provided that, you know, the intention is not to show that, look, I am giving so much. The intention must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu.
Absolutely, mashallah. Very good point that you made, Mawlana Sahab. So if you do have any type of haram money, whether it's riba, usury, interest, or from gambling or drugs, whatever it is, get rid of it. Give it to some poor person without the intention of receiving reward. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once, while I was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the noblest Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looked at the mountain Uhud. For those of you who know that mountain, it's a massive mountain. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the mountain Uhud and said, if this mountain becomes gold for me, I would not like that even a single gold coin of it remains with me for more than 3 days. Except that dinar, that gold coin, which I will keep for repaying my debts. I want you to think about this. Subhanallah, there are narrations that state, sometimes a person came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some assistance. Because they knew, the go-to person is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you want advice, if you need something to pay off your debts, if you need some help, you need some food, you need some clothing, the person to go to is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
He was a true well-wisher, not just for Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, but for you and I as well, as his ummatis. And sometimes he would act to help that person. If he had nothing, he would borrow the money and give to that person, not as a loan. He would borrow from somebody, he would give that person to help them, and then on his own, he would pay this person back. How many of us practice on that sunnah?
Allah, Allah.
Try it at least once in your life. Somebody needs some help, and you know, let me practice on this sunnah also. Let me borrow the money to help them, and give them that money as a gift, or as a sadaqah. And then when I make my own money, I'll pay this person back. Because this was the generous nature of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Mawlana Sahib said, he never said la. Even if he had nothing, he made a plan. He made the necessary arrangements so that the person who's asking him does not go empty-handed. And you, where else are you going to find this kind, this level of generosity? This is the highest level of generosity that you can find, my dear viewers and listeners.
You know, Mawlana Sahib, even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would buy something from someone, and then that same thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would present it back to the person as a gift.
Allahu Akbar.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he bought a camel from Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and presented him the same camel back to him. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful quality this is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, this is, you know, another level of generosity altogether. Where do we see, you know, someone doing that nowadays? Like if we go to a shop and we see a cashier there, and if they are Muslim, then normally what we see happening is that people would buy the items and then they would go. But subhanAllah, here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us something else. Of course, if you have the means, then do so. You know, because by doing that, if you go to a shop, you see a Muslim cashier, maybe buy a bottle of juice for him or something for him, because that's also a way of being generous. And together with that, you are making that fellow Muslim happy as well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, subhanAllah. And there are Muslims even today that have learned this generosity from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're doing that.
SubhanAllah.
I mean, you see some of the video clips out there where the person will go to a shop seller or somebody who's selling on the streets his items. Many of them are old people, but they're still working. In the 70s and the 80s, they're still working because there's nobody to look after them. Where's the son? Where's the daughter? They still have to work. They still have to carry heavy packets and items and push their cart around in the heat, in the sun. Because the son is not around, the daughter is not around, the family is not around. And they're just left to fend for themselves. So you'll see some of these people, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, as I said, they learned from the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They'll go to the person and they'll tell them, whatever stock you have here, how much it comes to. Say for example, 2,000. Say, I'll buy everything. I'll buy everything, but I'm not going to take it. You give it for free to people. And people will come, poor people will come. He'll give all of that for free, but his whole stock has been bought already. So he made his profit. So alhamdulillah, if you have ability to do this, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, do things like this. But watch your intention. Watch that I'm not doing it for the likes on social media, for the followers, and to get monetized my channel. This is why I need the followers, the likes, the subscriptions, all of those. Do it for the correct reasons. Because if you're doing it for those reasons, that will be your reward. And on the Day of Judgment, there won't be anything left. There won't be no reward. So do it with the correct intentions. You'll see great blessings in this, inshaAllah ta'ala. Now, relating to the great virtue of the generosity of the noblest Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned by Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, that he says, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most generous of all people. And he used to reach his peak in generosity in the month of Ramadan, when the Honorable Jibreel Amin alayhi salam used to visit him. Jibreel alayhi salam would arrive every night in Ramadan, and they both would recite the glorious Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would show more generosity than the strong, uncontrollable wind.
Allah, Allah.
The strong wind, the gale force winds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more generous than that. I want you to think that if this is the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how should you and I? We can't reach that level, it's impossible. We know that. But am I following in his footsteps? Our lives, our hearts to the dunya, that we have to live in here or live on planet earth for the hereafter. That's the purpose, we all know it, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare for the grave, to do good deeds, that we know. But am I following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because a person who is a miser is not liked by people. The one who is stingy is not liked by people. And so many narrations are there. Very quickly, this one narration about the stingy, wealthy person, that he used to just accumulate wealth and he never used to spend in the path of Allah. He should say to himself that, you know, I worked hard for all of this. Why must I give the poor people? Let them work hard also. And so at home, he used to pile up gold coins, silver coins, diamonds, this, that, whatever it is. And then one day, on a poor person knocks on the door. The poor person was actually Israel alayhi salam, the angel of death, but he disguised himself as a beggar. So he knocks on the door. A servant answers, and so the servant says, "Who are you? What do you want?" He says, "No, I want some help, please." He says, "No, our master doesn't have any time for you. Go from here." He chased him away. He closed the door. After some time, Israel alayhi salam, he, in the guise of a beggar, comes, knocks on the door. The servant opens up and says, "You again? I told you don't come back here." So he says, "Tell your master, I am the angel of death, Israel alayhi salam. I've come to take your soul." The servant, he is so worried, he runs inside. He tells his master, the rich, stingy man, he panics. And he's looking this side, that side, what must I do? He says, no, please tell him to come in, talk to him nicely, tell him to come in and treat him well. Subhanallah. And then he tells his servants, bring whatever wealth that I have in this house, bring it in front of me, put it in front of me. They brought all of the his treasures, they place it in the front. And he looks at it and he says, "You useless wealth, you have made me oblivious that I never spent you in the path of Allah Azawajal, that I got attached to you, I loved you, and now look what has happened to me. I never did anything good with you. I just lived in luxury and entertainment and comfort and pleasure." So Israel alayhi salam comes in and says, "Do whatever you want to do. I'm not leaving here until I take your soul." So the rich, stingy man, even at that moment in time, he's thinking and he's cursing his own wealth that he himself was stingy to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A voice was then heard that, "Oh stingy person, you are the cursed one. Because of me, you got a status in society. Because of me, you married a rich lady. You married into a rich family. Because of me, you have all these luxuries and comforts and pleasure, and you lived extravagantly. But you decided not to spend me in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And all of a sudden, the rich man falls down dead. Do we want to become like this? Seriously, sincerely think about it. For those especially who have been blessed with an abundance of wealth, many are spending in the path of Allah. There are many rich, wealthy people that are putting up masjids, madrasas, jami'at, that are looking after the poor and needy, widows, orphans, that are spending a lot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each one. Bless each one in this world and in the hereafter as well. But we are addressing those rich people that are stingy and don't like spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, do you want to become like this? This rich, stingy man, how did that wealth benefit him? He's not taking nothing with him to the grave. And so ulama ikram have stated that your true wealth is whatever you spent in the path of Allah. Don't think that, you know, my wealth is going to get less, is going to decrease. Keep your focus in the hereafter. That you, when you leave this world, whatever you left behind, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It's going to be shared amongst your heirs. They will distribute it. Or they're going to fight each other and take each other to court to get their hands on the maximum of a share. All depends on how you train them, your offspring especially. Or you can spend, you can leave your financial legacy, and you can also leave a spiritual legacy that you built a masjid, you built a madrasa, you built a jamia, you built a hospital, you built an orphanage, you sponsored a student to become a Hafidhul Qur'an. You sponsored a student to become an alim or alima. And even after your passing away, you still get the reward. That is your true wealth, what you spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us wake up. Let us try our best to give something regularly in the path of Allah Azawajal, because as-sadaqatu raddul bala, that charity diverts calamity. If calamity is coming towards you, maybe an accident, maybe a sickness, some other problem, but you spent, even if it's little bit, but you earned it from halal, and you're spending it in the path of Allah for the pleasure of Allah Azawajal, it will divert the calamity somewhere else. So let's be smart about it and spend in the path of Allah.
Also, Mahasab, you know that a person who gives 100 rand, say, for example, 100 rand for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his intention is correct and he's giving that 100 rand. The person who's giving 100 rand for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be better than that person who gives 1,000 rand and that person's intention is, you know, to show others that I am giving more. His 1,000 rand, although in his mind apparently it may seem that he's giving a lot, but his intention is wrong. So that would be futile. Yeah. Whereas on the other hand, you have a person who's giving 100 rand, but his intention is correct. That will be fruitful for him and that will be a means of his reward. So it's important that when someone, you know, is giving, the intention must be there, as you've been mentioning. And also the other thing is that it is not a competition to say that, you know what, I'm giving more than you or I'm giving more than you. No, it's not a competition.
What if one says, I want to give in front of others to motivate others?
Then subhanAllah, that is actually a good intention. Because as you've mentioned, this will be a motivation to others also to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know, it doesn't matter about how big the amount is. What matters most is the sincerity and the intention in one's heart. So even if someone is not rich, maybe they must be wondering and thinking that, how do I be generous, or how must I give anything? I don't have much. Even if such a person has even 1 rand, and he gives this 1 rand with the intention of sadaqah and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this 1 rand will be of so much benefit to him in this world and in the hereafter. But provided that the intention is correct. And you know, Musab, the generosity of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that in the expedition of Hunain, the most distinctive kind of generosity shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be imagined at all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that day, he granted many villages, many Bedouins, 100 camels each. 100 camels each. And ulama have mentioned that on that day, the bestowal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was more than the whole life's generosity of generous kings.
Allahu Akbar.
This was the great generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it is in totally unmatched.
As Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala says, وہاں کیا جود و کرم ہے شاہ بطحا تیرا وہاں کیا جود و کرم ہے شاہ بطحا تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگ
Subhanallah.
Tera. You know, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, all his couplets, you can trace it somewhere to a Quranic verse or to a blessed hadith or some saying of the Awliya Allah. Because it's grounded in the Sharia. It's not just somebody saying some nice rhyming words. It sounds beautiful, it sounds nice, and the meanings are even beautiful, mashallah, azza wa jal. Especially if you study deen, you'll link up that, you know, nahi sunta, hi nahi mangana. That part there will relate to what you mentioned earlier, that Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they themselves said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever said la, never ever said no to anybody, never turned anybody down. So Alhamdulillah Azawajal, when you're listening to the Naat Sharifs, the Kalams of Al Hazrat, then it links you to these kind of narrations. It makes you think about these kind of narrations, Subhanallah Azawajal. The glorious Quran mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 274, translation from Kanzul Iman, those who spend their wealth by night and day, secretly and openly, their reward is with their Lord. And there shall be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. We are encouraged that you're spending. Spend in secrecy. You know, they say, the right hand must not know what the left hand gives. Or the left hand must not know what the right hand gives. It's all about, don't keep account that, okay, this date I gave so much in charity. This date I gave so much to so. And when you're giving, don't put any strings attached. That, hey, and don't remind the person, you remember, I helped you, I paid your rent, I paid your water light, I bought clothes for your children, remember? Subhanallah. And then your person wants to take pictures of the person. See who I'm helping. I'm helping this family, this children. Why? So people can say, hey, wow, subhanallah, how generous you are, man. This is why Dawud Islami teaches us, yes, you can take pictures of the items,
yes,
not of the person. That is degrading.
And you know, Masab, they would actually be feeling embarrassed. They would feel insulted.
Absolutely. They will feel, put yourself in that position. Because things can change very quickly. How many big businesses are gone? They know more. How many rich people are now poor? I mean, we come across many of them in the Ruhani Ilaj, Spiritual Cures Department. We come across many of them. Hey, Maulana, you know, I had so many businesses. I was earning so much of money. But because of bad decisions, today I'm asking for zakat.
Allah.
Too many cases like this. Don't think, hey, you know what, we got too many businesses. You know, we're going to remain rich forever. Allah Azza wa Jal, be careful of Allah Azza wa Jal's hidden plans, secret plans. And whatever you have, give as much as you can in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. One day a person comes, a villager, and subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wearing a shawl that has rough edges. So the villager comes and he pulls the shawl so hard that it scrapes the blessed body of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? What did he say? What was his reaction? He smiled at him. And on top of that, the villager started to demand that, give me from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Demanding for things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles at him. And then orders sahaba ikram, give him what he wants.
Subhanallah.
Now you tell me, that if you want to help somebody, but if they're rude to you, if you're rude to me, I won't help you.
That's where the real test is.
That is where the real test is. Are you really not going to help, or you going to help? What path you going to take? If only we had this mindset of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if I'm going to help this person, who knows? The person's heart can become soft because of that. The person can become close to you, or the person can start also doing things like that and being generous themselves because of we being generous on them, no matter how they react. But you see, because shaitan now, he overpowers a person's mind, and now the ego comes in, the nafs comes in, then arrogance will come in. Then who you think you are? You came to me for help and you're saying these things. Yes, if the person is talking rudely, that is wrong, obviously. But now, you can't fight the fire with the fire. You have to put out the fire with the water. You have to be smooth and calm and collected like the water to put out those flames. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're studying his seerah, his life, his blessed life, you're going to come across these things. You're going to see that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the people, the Bedouin, the villager. He could have chased him away. Sahaba ikram could have chased him away. That you are so harsh to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on top of that, you're demanding something. You're not asking humbly, politely, you're demanding it. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy for all the universes, a mercy for all the multiverses or whatever name you want to give it. And he taught us ultimate generosity is taught by him.
And you know, Muhasab, that the person, the one who is generous, they are actually more happy than the one who is stingy. Because, you know, the one who is generous, who is always, you know, giving.
Yes.
In that process, yes, that person is getting rewarded, etc. But on a mental health, that also plays a very major role, because it keeps you at peace, it keeps you at tranquility, it keeps you happy. By making others happy, you become happy. By giving to others, you also become happy. Helping someone, you becoming happy. Whereas on the other hand, if a person is stingy and is always holding back and not giving, that person lives with stress throughout his life. Depression, anxiety. Why? Because his mind and his concern is only on his wealth, on what he owns. That I can't let any damage come to this. I can't let any deduction come
to
this.
Who's going to steal my money?
Who's going to steal my money? Who's going to take my money? All of these thoughts always run through a person. And that's why the reason that a stingy person can never be happy. On the other hand, we have a generous person who is always happy because of being generous. That's and right. This, it comes down to understanding that our wealth is not our wealth. Our wealth is has been granted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we do with our wealth, that is the next question we have to ask ourselves. Halal way or haram way? You know, the lawful way or the unlawful way? So all of these things, these aspects, it plays a major role when we have wealth. We're getting our wealth. What are we going to do with it? Do we want to be happy? Then be generous. If you want to live in misery and in stress, then don't be generous, be stingy. The choice is ours. So we have to learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be generous. So this generosity we see in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram alaihim ridwan, the awliya Allah, and our pious predecessors as well.
MashaAllah. A person who is spiritually mature can think like this, that nothing belongs to us. That's the reality. Because you have one level where what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. The next level, what's yours is yours, what's mine is yours. And the ultimate level is nothing is mine and nothing is yours. Belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
We just are custodians.
Yeah.
We're just looking after the wealth. I can feel, I can think that, you know what, I'm the one who established this business, this empire, and working hard. Who gave you the opportunities for that? Who opened your doors? Who gave you those job opportunities and those transactions and business deals and clientele? Who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we belong to Him. And furthermore, we need to understand, as Munasab said, even psychologists have affirmed this, that the one who gives is at better peace than the one who takes. It's a psychological thing also. Obviously, we're not doing it for psychology. We're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are some of the other benefits that you get. Psychologically, try it out. When you see a smile on that person's face, or you see a little child, an orphan, you gave them a sweet, you bought them some clothing, the way they smile and make dua for you, you know, there's dopamine hormones released in your system that makes you feel so nice by seeing somebody else happy because you helped them.
SubhanAllah.
So the hand that gives is better than the hand that takes. Be a giver. Give back to your community, your family, your Dawat Islami. Give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, you'll see the rewards in this world, in the grave, and the hereafter as well, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah.
Let's listen to a short clip, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is unique in every aspect. Whatever aspect you study of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find it matchless, unparalleled. Now if we look at the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even that is matchless, unparalleled. It's mentioned in Sirat Mustafa that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered this world in a state of prostration. That's unique. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam entered this world and performed sajda. He was already circumcised and his umbilical cord was already severed, cut. A delightful fragrance emanated from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of dawn before Fajr on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, corresponding to 20th April 571 AD. So when you look at the birth of the Prophet alayhi sallam, and we see how different it was to any other birth, how it was unique, matchless, unparalleled, special, then if that's the case with his blessed birth, then imagine his noble life, entire noble life. There is no one like our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us ma'rifah, recognition of the maqam of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah azawajal, always something to learn at every turn in this environment of Dawat Islami. Remain attached to Dawat Islami. If you're not involved, get involved. Get involved for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are in some profession, you'll find that Dawat Islami has a platform for you. Whether it's a doctor, lawyer, attorney, judge, businessman, farmer, there are so many different departments. The idea is to uplift the ummah and to empower the ummah with authentic Islamic knowledge. Anyways, today we're talking about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. We talked about how that there's nobody that can compare to his generosity, and how that he never ever in his entire life turned anybody away who asked him for something. And at times, as Mawlana Sahib has mentioned, at times he would buy something from the person and would give the very same thing back to them as a gift. So you and I need to follow in the footsteps of this. We also touched upon stinginess and what the consequences of stinginess are. And we are Muslims. We follow our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we do so, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is mentioned, that person will enter Jannah, who earned from halal and who spent in halal ways. We have a lovely segment, inshallah.
MashaAllah.
With our respected Mulana Tabriz Nuri Saab. He is visiting our various madrasas, Hibs academies, and based on the topic of today, he's going to be asking them certain questions, and let's see what answers they give, inshallah. And then inshallah ta'ala, we'll be right back thereafter. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين. Dear viewers, in today's segment we are going to be asking question in relation to the generosity of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are in the area of Bluff in Durban at our Jamiatul Madina of Da'wat Islami with our students from the second and third year Alim class. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah Kareem bless the students as well as those who are watching Madani channel at this very moment. We say shukran to our honorable Maulana Naushad Attari as well as Sayyid Muhammad Madani for sharing their beautiful Madani pearls in this amazing program called The Supreme Role Model. MashaAllah, marhaba. And now the time has started, dear viewers. We're going to get busy with our questions. Remember, the rule is 10 points for each team. We have team A and B. Are you all ready? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, as we get started, dear viewers, the first question, of course, is in relation to the discussion as you watch on Madini channel. The question is, who is the most generous person in the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal? Your time starts now. Alhamdulillah. We've seen both sides have raised hands, but first, Team B. Labbaik.
Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah said that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never used the word no to anyone who asked him for anything. So it's clear to us that the most generous person in the entire creation of Allah is none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And the answer is correct. Subhanallah. There is no one who is more generous than the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And now this gives Team B 10 points. Let's go to the next question. Give an example of the great generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Team A.
On one occasion, 70,000 dirhams, which is silver coin, were presented in the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed them on a mat and began distributing them while standing next to it. No seeker left empty-handed until all of the coins were distributed.
And the answer is correct. Subhanallah. What a beautiful answer, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had distributed 70,000 silver coins, dear viewers. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali states in his beautiful poetry, Waha kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera, nahi sunta hi nahi, maangne wala tera. Subhanallah. Now this gives Team A 10 points and Team B 10 points as well. MashaAllah, the third question is, what does the blessed hadith say about those who are generous? MashaAllah, Team B has raised their hands. Please give us the answer to this.
Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, al-jannatu darul askhiya, meaning paradise is the abode of those who are generous.
Al-jannatu darul askhiya, jannah is the abode of the generous. The answer is correct. Subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Kareem make us all generous, dear viewers. This gives Team B 20 points. Team A still sitting with 10 points. And now we move on to the fourth question. Show the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's unique generosity. MashaAllah. Both teams raise hands together, but I think I saw Team A raise first. Few milliseconds before. So yes, go with the answer.
On some occasions, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would purchase something, and after purchasing and paying for it, he would give it back to the same person or to somebody else. So on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased a camel from Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And after purchasing it, he gifted the same camel back to Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma.
Subhanallah, what a beautiful example. The answer is correct, dear viewers. This is a narration in which we learn this is the level of his blessed generosity, dear viewers. Subhanallah. This gives Team A and B 20 points each, mashaAllah. And now we move on to the fifth question. Mention what the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised. Okay. Advised about what, brother?
About shaking hands with others.
Subhanallah. Our brother has even completed the question. Shaking hands and doing what?
Shaking hands, giving gift.
Subhanallah. Okay, so this is a question, subhanallah, and he has completed the question. What is the answer? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about this?
Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shake hands with others, hatred will decrease by this, send gifts, it will foster love between you, and animosity will be removed.
Shake hands with others, hatred decreases by this. Subhanallah. Send gifts, it will foster love between you and that person, and animosity will be removed. Jawab bilkul durust diya hai, subhanallah. 30 points for Team B, 20 points for Team A. The sixth question is, describe the immense generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the expedition of Hunain. Allahu Akbar. We have three hands lifted, but once again I've seen team B has lifted before team A, mashallah. Ji, go for it.
During the expedition of Hunain, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gifted many people who lived in the village 100 camels each.
Allahu Akbar. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam gifted many people who lived in a village with 100 camels each. With 100 camels each. And the answer is correct, subhanallah. Yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, this is the generosity of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to a narration, a person who taken so many animals as a gift from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went charging and running back to his village saying, oh people, believe in Muhammad, for once he grants, your poverty is removed for the rest of your life. Subhanallah. He is such a generous Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kya baat hai Madine ki. This gives our team B 40 points. Team A sitting with 20 points, mashallah, with 20 points, alhamdulillah. Let's move to the next question. Cite another example of his blessed generosity and compassion on the day of Hunain. We have two examples, mashallah. So let's see. I seen both hands erect at the same time, but let me give Team A the chance to give the answer to this question, mashallah.
It has been stated by Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Musayyab that Safwan ibn Umayyah has said that on the day of the Hunain, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was absolutely generous to us. And he would give me wealth even though he was the most disliked person in my eye. But he gave me wealth until he became the most beloved person in my eye.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And the answer or example our brother has given is correct. Subhanallah, dear viewers. This is the level of his blessed generosity beyond our imagination, dear viewers. Subhanallah, this earns team A 30 points and team B 40 points, mashallah. So the eighth question in our segment is, what is the narration of generosity being a tree of Jannah? We see team A has raised their hands, mashallah. This looks like going to be a draw. Let's see if it's going to be a draw. G.
The narration states that generosity is a tree from the trees amongst paradise, whose branches are leaning towards the earth. Whomsoever holds onto these branches, it will lead him to paradise.
The answer is correct, subhanallah. Kya baat hai Madine ki. This is the blessings of generosity, dear viewers of Madine channel. That, subhanallah, generosity is a tree from the trees of paradise. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, we all should become generous and never be a miser, dear viewer. Subhanallah, this gives our team A and B 40 points each. And this is a draw, alhamdulillah. Let's move to the next question, which is the ninth one. Is the generous person close to Allah? Team A, go for it.
Yes, the generous person is indeed close to Allah Almighty. He is close to paradise, he is close to the people, and he is distant from the hellfire.
The answer is correct, subhanallah. A generous person is even distant from the hellfire, dear viewers. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah Kareem make us all generous. And Mubarak to Team A for coming right from behind and earning themselves 50 points, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. The 10th question, are you all ready? What about the one who is a miser? What is written about him? Team B has raised hands first. Allahu Akbar. G, go for it.
The narration states that the one, the miserly one, that person is distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is distant from people, and he is distant even from Jannah, but he is closer to the hellfire.
And the answer is correct, Allahu Akbar. However, may Allah Kareem not make us from amongst those who are misers, dear viewers, but rather give us a generous heart. Subhanallah, it's actually the opposite of those who are generous. Allahu Akbar. And this makes it 50-50 for both the teams. We have the last and two final questions which will determine who is the final winner, inshallah. Let's see. What does Sayyidina Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi say about attachment to worldly wealth? Allahu Akbar. Would I be wrong to say that Team B has raised their hands first again? No. So go for it.
Sayyidina Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi mentions that by Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who loves wealth is disgraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also mentions that when the first dirham and dinar were made, Shaitan picked it up, he put it on his forehead and then he kissed it. And then he said, Shaitan said, that whoever loves this wealth is my slave.
Allahu Akbar. And the answer is correct. Allahu Akbar. Jawab bilkul durust diya hai. This is what Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala had stated, dear viewers of Madani channel, that when the first dirham and dinar were made, Shaitan picked them up and placed them on his forehead, then kissed them and said, whoever loves these, yani the paisa, the money, he is my slave. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us from having any sort of love for the dunya. And now this gives team B 60 points, mashallah. And team A is sitting with 50 points. But we are left with the final and last question. It's either it will be a draw or one team would win. Are you all ready? Are you all ready? Alhamdulillah. And the question is, how can one develop a sense of generosity? Your time starts now. Allahu Akbar. Team B has raised their hands. It was a question in which I assume that both the teams, in fact, all the members of both the teams will raise their hands together. But nonetheless, Team B has raised their hands. If you would not get this correct, the answer or the chance will be given to Team A to give the answer to. Labbaik.
In order for one to get generosity or to attain generosity himself, then he must read some ahadith, or he must read the activities of the Sahaba Ikram or the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah. And also, one, in order to get generosity, one must detach his heart from the world and its wealth.
And the answer is correct, subhanallah. Mubarak to both the teams, and especially to Team B, for they have won in the segment. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is one of a progressive way of increasing some sense of generosity within us, dear viewers, by reading the blessed ahadith. Of course, mostly you will earn a lot of barakah through this and motivation to become generous. Subhanallah, keep reciting Durood-e Pak, dear viewers of Madani channel, and reading articles about awliyas and the pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say shukran to all those who have watched today's program, especially to the team for this beautiful program. Alhamdulillah, the supreme role model. And Madani channel will come back with another segment in the very same program. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's always something to learn. And this is what your Dawud Islami is doing. Training the next generation. Dawud Islami is there to help you, to support you. If we want our children to be ours, to remain ours, yourself and your children become part of Dawud Islami. Maulana Sahab, mashallah azawajal, we are at the end of this silsila, of this program. Any concluding remarks?
Subhanallah, Maulana Sahab. We see and we've learned, you know, the great generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you've mentioned also, you know, about regarding that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would buy something from someone and would present that same thing back to the person. So, also, there are many beautiful results, you know, for being generous, for exchanging gifts, giving someone a present, because all of these, it causes unity amongst fellow Muslims, it causes love amongst fellow Muslims. So we should also implement this beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives as well. As in this particular hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that the generous person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to Jannah, close to the people and far from the fire. Stinginess, on the other hand, stinginess is far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, far from Jannah, far from the people and close to the fire. An ignorant, generous person in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than a stingy scholar.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
Well, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, where and to who we want to be close to and where we want to be far. We want to be far from the fire. We know what to do. We want to be close to Jannah. We know what to do. Let us dig deep in our pockets. Spend on our family members. Don't go wild spending. But be generous, be kind, be compassionate, be affectionate. Help people, starting with your family members. They say charity begins at home. So look and search in your family. You'll find somebody. that is in need of assistance. If you have the ability, the capability, the capacity, then do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Mawlana Sahib said, that you exchange gifts, your love will grow. So follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of his generosity, his great and incomparable generosity. And inshallah azza wa jal, by being generous and kind, there will be reward for this out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The supreme role model, in his noble footsteps, perfection we see. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. A model for all in lives, every degree.
The supreme